Welcome to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. A tough start to the show today as we pay tribute to Paul Green, who tragically passed away yesterday at the age of 49. Remember, you can always call Lifeline if you are struggling on 13 11 14. We also spoke about the Storm's good win against the Panthers last night. I think I may steal some of Brandy's thunder to start the show today. I mean, we love our jobs. We love mixing with you every single day. We feel like we're absolutely blessed. We live and breathe sport. We get to talk a lot of rugby league. That's our job, and we get paid for it. But there's no spring in the step today. It was tough turning up to work last night and having to call football and thinking of your own family, the situation around Paul Green, and then turning up to work this morning. We're a bit of a blank canvas this morning. It's very hard to put into words the shock and the incredible sadness of the events of yesterday. And right from the top of the show, Brandy, to Paul's wife Amanda and his two children, Jed and Emerson. Incredible. I don't know what you say. I really don't. How do you reach out to those that are the dearest, the loved ones, the parents of Paul Green, his brother? How they must be dealing with what happened yesterday, the shocking news that came through mid-morning yesterday.
Terrible. Vossie, absolutely terrible. And, you know, as the news came through after we'd finished our program yesterday, I guess many of, you know, a lot of the rugby league world were feeling exactly the same, just in shock, especially those that had dealt with Paul recently. You know, Gordy Tallis, I worked with Gordon last night, and Gordon knew just about everything and had spoken to people that had been with Paul right up until, you know, the day before yesterday. And there was absolutely no signs from Paul Green that this would happen. And that's, I think, would make it very hard to deal with for those that are close to him. But the fact that Paul Green, you know, played at five clubs, coached at three clubs at different levels, spent, you know, 7 years at the Cowboys, you know, the impact that it's made on the game and all those people that either played with him or played under him, makes it hard to fathom.
Yeah, well, we do need to talk this morning. Obviously, you know, we love to just focus on sport, but this is a story that's come out of a man much loved by the rugby league community. And I will say this at the top of the program, and we will give the number of Lifeline many times throughout the course of the morning, but their number 13, 11, 14. I noticed Gus Wallen last night, who runs the Gotcha for Life, you know, said this is real line in the sand moment, that this can happen to someone. Now, Paul Green, just unpacking the last week of his life, if you would, as it now is the circumstance. I mean, he was at the Old Boys. He was invited down by the Cronulla Sharks as recent as last weekend for the Sharks Dragons Derby. He was there, and I've watched the clip again this morning. He did the lap of honour with the Cronulla greats of the team, so he's there with old mates. His son, Jed, celebrated his 12th birthday on Wednesday. The manager of Paul Green is also the manager of Michael Ennis. Michael was telling me last night the manager had only spoken to Paul Green the night before, like at the party. He's there at the party of his son, as we know. We believe Paul drove his kids to school yesterday morning, and yet is dead just over an hour later. That, you know, I don't know anybody. Like, no one's saying they saw any signs, but, you know, constantly we just need to talk, don't we? We need to just check on mates, check on family. We get so wound up in our lives, we get so busy that we take our eye off the ball, if you will. And again, I don't know what you say to the family, but I'd like to think that this morning, if we can somehow draw some sort of positive, is that we reach a point where we may save someone else's life, Brandy. There may be someone listening right now to SEN somewhere around Australia that's got a few dark thoughts, and that we can reach out then to them today. The Lifeline number is 13 11 14. We do want to pay tribute to Greeny today. We will have a couple of members that were so close to him when the Cowboys won the 2015 Premiership. When you're talking about his rugby league life, his journey, then obviously that Premiership will never be forgotten. You can never have another first, can you? The first man at the helm of the Cowboys winning the Premiership. Quite, is incredibly the word? I mean, the two coaches for the Cowboys who got them the grand finals have both passed away young men, Graham Murray and Paul Green. Yeah. But we will have John Cartwright on the show, a man you know well, Brandy, who was an assistant to Greeny back in 2015. Jason Demetrio was the other assistant at the Cowboys
yes,
that
he was.
Year.
Yep.
James Tamo, member of the side, he'll be coming on, the current Tigers leader. But I think, yeah, when you're talking tribute, and I don't know how you do it appropriately, but I think we do need to play the audio of the 2015 Grand Final if it can at least be uplifting yep. of an incredible moment in the life of Paul Green and so many.
Let's do it.
12 metres out in front. Thurston to choose from with Coote. He hits it. He's done it. He's got the field goal. He's got the premiership. He has gone from, as I said, a captain to a legend and probably rugby league immortality.
Rabs with a call. Now, Paul Green, the player, that's the coach, a premiership and also another grand final with the Cowboys a few years later. But Paul Green, the player. Brandy, your careers would have crossed paths there. But Paul Green was player of the year in 1995, back in the day when there was a Rothmans medal. He was winner there.
Yeah, he made quite the impact, didn't he? When he came down from Brisbane, Vossie, in 94 to join the Sharks, link up with his close mate Martin Lang, Johnny Lang. They both played for Easts up there in Brisbane, even though Greeny was a Wynnum boy. And I was talking to Gordy tell us about that last night, just how Greeny was, and in fact, Paul was living back in Wynnum Manly in that area, but was a Wynnum Manly junior and made a big impact at Easts Brisbane, came down to join the Sharks, won the Rothmans medal in 95. Vossie, and just watching some highlights of him yesterday, you do forget careers until you're reminded when you see them on screen again and how they play. And Paul Green was, he was the same size as Alf. Like he was very small in stature, but that didn't take away from the impact that he made, on the Sharks and the Cowboys and those five clubs that he played at. Very clever, very intelligent. And I didn't have much to do with Paul Green as a player. Or even as a coach, might have interviewed him a couple of times during his time at the Cowboys there on Fox, where he'd join the program, sure. the panel, and have a chat. But did get to spend some time with Greeny when he retired, just after he retired, and he joined Fox Sports. And that was back in 2005, 2006, when he was working as a consultant with the Brisbane Broncos. So he'd come down and join the panel every now and then, and very intelligent man, very intelligent, and good to listen to talk about footy. He was very sharp, had a very sharp mind, and I think that has been shown throughout his post-playing career, and not just his coaching, but the businesses and the things that he has been involved in. Paul Green, became a helicopter pilot.
That's right. Very early in the piece, wasn't it? Yeah, he got a pilot's license.
So he was a very intelligent, engaging person.
What I gleaned from Paul Green, and many times spoken to him in the capacity of being in the media, both as player, but more recently, obviously, as coach, and, we did a number of profiles on him on The Fan on Fox League, is that, it did strike that he had pretty good life balance, family and interests like the flying. He probably regretted sometimes I spoke to him, the coaching took up so much of his time that he didn't get to do the flying, which was one of his loves. But it wasn't all football, as much as he did appear to have life balance. Now, where do we go with this morning? Obviously, we'd love you to come on the open line or the text and pay tribute to Greeny and to reach out to help. But I do feel that if we're actually genuine in our compassion and saying, well, we want this, as Gus Wortland said, to be line in the sand, that if we can talk this morning, if you have been through something similar, someone close to you has found themselves in this situation, if you indeed have been through this yourself and have contemplated taking that final step, if you feel brave enough this morning to come on and share your experience to potentially help others, to maybe save a life, we would love you to do that this morning. I know it's a heavy topic, but that is part of it about having the conversation. So the Breakfast Show can be a conduit to that today. 1300 01 1170. You can text 0457 736 736. That is the number. Now, there was football played last night, and on Fox League, we dedicated our call and our entire coverage to Greeny, to his memory. We had the game last night where Melbourne defeated Penrith 16 points to nil. We do have to talk sport as well this morning, Brandy. The big takeouts from last night. A lot of players missing. Both teams will get players back. But even in 16-0, I saw a lot to like about Penrith. But then I saw Melbourne's goal line defence that I sort of, as I called, I thought, I wonder if this works if there's Cleary and Luai on the other side. The stat ended up incredibly. Penrith had 55 tackles inside the Melbourne Storm 20 and did not score a point, Brandy. What should we take out of that?
Well, completely shut out, Vossie. And the win was set up in the first half. It was a brutal opening 20 minutes. Both sides getting into each other. Field position looked important. Penrith sort of had the better of that. Went close a couple of times, and Penrith didn't take their chances. Melbourne's goal line defence was as good as I've seen. Even though the Panthers were down some numbers, some attacking players, they still had plenty of opportunities to score tries. And it still takes pretty special defence to shut out Penrith at their home ground. Cameron Munster was brilliant again. That was my takeout. You know, someone said to me before the game, as we were giving our tips, our final thoughts on the game, Jess Yates said, what are you worried about? And I said, well, Cameron Munster, and who ended up playing fullback. And I thought that the change from Craig Bellamy to bring Brandon Smith and start Big Nelson on the edge and play.
He started his best possible side, didn't he, Craig Bellamy?
He started his biggest and best pack. And I thought that took its toll on Penrith by the 20-minute mark. And then we saw Brandon Smith, that great 50-metre individual try. Justin Ollam was fantastic down that left side. Gee, he's been good for Melbourne you know, over a number of years now, Justin Ollam.
Speed, Justin Ollam. When he gets in clear.
It was Melbourne's defence that stood out. If I walked away from that game, what's the takeout? Melbourne's desperation on their own line, which will put them in a good position now with those 2 points. They sit in third until the Sharks play. So went away in consolidating that top four spot Melbourne did last night.
We'll throw this question at our listeners this morning. Who did Penrith miss most? I tell you what, that's what sort of got rammed home, because I've called last Saturday night, I called Penrith v Canberra. No Cleary, no Luai, no Kickow. But they had Dylan Edwards. And he was like a heart and soul performer. Last night, no Dylan Edwards. I started to think he's in some ways the player they miss most. I mean, Edwards is so reliable. I call him the door snake, the mountain goat. I mean, he does so many things for that team. Obviously, behind the line, he's Billy Slater-like in organising defence, in attack, the number of touches, his reliability. Dylan Edwards is a big out for Penrith. How do you rank the players? Like, in order of the players you least want to lose, Edwards has come on in leaps and bounds. He's such an important player to that side. You take Edwards out last night. I mean, if I was wavering on my tip, and obviously I just tipped Melbourne, I needed to go against you, Brandy, but if I know Edwards is out,
yep,
you know, that would have swayed my vote. If I knew that Dylan Edwards is definitely out, well, I am going for Melbourne. On top of the other players out. Edwards is so valuable to this Penrith side, Brandy.
Yeah, he is. There's no doubt he is. And it's hard to weigh up who they missed most. You know, Jerome Hughes, certainly a big out for the Melbourne Storm. But looking on how the game played out, Nelson Asifa-Solomona was so strong for the Melbourne Storm. So
a lot of minutes,
my thoughts were that Penrith missed James Fisher-Harris in the middle. I think they missed his aggression. They missed his authority. In the middle. So Dylan, yes, absolutely. Dylan was, you know, man of the match against the Canberra Raiders the week before. But just on how the game panned out and how the game, I thought, where the game was won, it was, I thought they, Melbourne beat Penrith in the middle with Smith and Asa for Solomona really dominating that, the middle third.
Abby Coruscant was very good last night for Penrith too. Liam Martin now added to the injury list for Penrith. So that's not good news for the Panthers. So you can have your say about that last night. Love to hear from Panthers supporters. Love to hear from Melbourne supporters. We've got doubleheader of rugby league tonight. Parramatta versus South Sydney is a big one. The match we'll hear on SEN and the first game on Fox League Warriors Bulldogs across in Auckland. So we've got that to look forward to. The AFL tonight, St Kilda v Brisbane. If you're a Swans fan, you're certainly hoping that St Kilda can knock over Brisbane, and that would certainly help Sydney in their quest to finish top four. You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. John Cartwright joined us to pay tribute to Paul Green. John was an assistant coach at the Cowboys when they won the premiership in 2015. And David Riccio from the Daily Telegraph joined us to give us the latest NRL headlines. Now, we start this half hour with one of the great moments of Paul Green's professional life. The Cowboys premiership in 2015. There can only ever be one first. The first time the great Cowboys club representing an incredible area, great reach, won the NRL.
12 metres out in front. Thurston to choose from with Coote. He hits it. He's got it. He's got the field goal. He's got the premiership. He has gone from, as I said, a captain to a legend and probably rugby league immortality.
Now, great commentary, Ray Warren, there. But when you see the pictures that accompany that, that are 7 years ago, in the coach's box is Paul Green, and at his side, his assistants, John Cartwright, Jason Demetrio's there. Incredible moment. Banging on the glass. I mean, it's just all-encompassing, the elation that was shown in that moment. We're very appreciative to have John Cartwright, who was there at Greeny's side, for that great night for the Cowboys, to come on and share a few thoughts this morning. John, thank you for your time. It's very much appreciated. Just checking there the line for John. We'll just check to see there. John was at the site, so assistant coach. Of course, John, as you know, has been a head coach at the Gold Coast Titans and had
and
success,
now
got
the
Titans to the finals. He is there now. John, we are very appreciative of your time this morning. How are you feeling?
Morning, boys. Yeah, it's a, like everyone, mate, it's a funny old day to wake up to. You've had a night to digest it, but it doesn't make any more sense this morning.
Can we just take you back to that? Because we are paying tribute to Paul's life today, as unfortunate as the circumstances are, that we wish we weren't in this position. But that night, and you watch that back, and the elation in the box when you actually win what you're all striving for, the big one, the premiership, what was that like alongside of Paul Green?
Oh, look, mate, it was an amazing feeling. You know, I was talking to someone about this yesterday. Just for me, I sort of came into the to the Cowboys a little bit late. I missed the preseason. I came in January, and just to be there and enjoy the ride, I suppose, all the way to the grand final, unbelievable. It had a lot of similarities to the one that I was fortunate enough to be at Penrith, in that it's super to win a grand final, but to be the first one in, and Townsville and Penrith have a lot of similarities. They're country towns in general. And to win a grand final and be the first, you just can't explain what that feels like, especially if you're born and bred in that area.
Can I,
Cardi,
ask you,
as an assistant coach, but and knowing just how close and how much time coaches and their assistants spend, for the 12 months, it's not just through the season, but it's through the off season. So you're in a great position to sum up, what sort of bloke Greeny was?
Oh, look, mate, he gave me that opportunity. You know, like I said, when he first asked me to be involved there, I'd just come off the back of the Titans, and I said to him, look, I'm just not in the right headspace, mate. I don't think I'll be any good for you. And he said, look, I'll give you have the off season at home. I'll give you a call in January. And we'll rediscuss it then. And true to his word, he did. And I did start to think what was I going to do, and I looked at their side and their squad, and ended up going up there. But he took me in. I got to know him as a super coach, one of the better coaches I've ever worked under, But also got to know his family, you know, his young kids and his wife, his mum and dad, his brother, his sister. So I was a long way from home then. I was pretty much on my own. And as I said, he took me in, made me welcome, and I had, you know, a fantastic time in Townsville. And it was all to do with him. You know, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been there. And God knows what I would have ended up doing. You know, it kept me involved in rugby league. You know, to where I'm sitting at the moment, I'd say I owe him a fair bit.
Yeah, John, a comment also, just on, I can only speak from my dealings through the media with Paul, and I sort of always found, obviously, very articulate Paul, but he struck me as he did have balance. He had life balance. Even though he's in that high-pressure job as coach, he said to me he could switch off, and he did that quite easily. You know, you lose a game or whatever, yes, you're kicking stones and all the rest, but... You know, family, life balance, did that strike you when you worked alongside Paul in this high-pressure job?
You're correct. He was one of the only head coaches that I've worked with that could actually get away. And, you know, on his day off, he would take his day off. And a really, really talented man, you know. He had a helicopter's pilot's license. He could pick up any instrument and play it at the drop of a hat. He could sing. He was a you know, a high achiever and a really, really talented man. But you're right, he did have that ability. You know, come day off or when it was downtime, he knew how to enjoy himself, and he had interests outside.
And one last one, John. You know, we just talk about rugby league. We throw it open, the pressure of it all, and little Quinn, we don't know all the we don't know really any of the circumstances what led to this, but you. It is a big job. It is a pressure job. I mean, it's almost as if you feel like saying coaches, you can talk about things as well. Like we just talk football, we criticise, we analyse, we break down. But sometimes do you guys, and you've been through it, could you have asked for a little bit of help to deal with the mental pressures of what the job brings?
Without a doubt. Mate, nothing prepares you for the role of a head coach. Yeah, we had some awful dark days. What people just, like you say, people, you know, they don't see you as a person. It's something to pat you on the back when it's something to pat you on the back of your win, and it's someone to, you know, to really give a hard time to when you lose. It's, you know, the whole personal assault, I suppose you could say, when things are going real bad, they don't come into it. And it's as an assistant, you don't feel that at all. You know, you're enjoying every moment. You see what the coach is going through, but until you sit in that seat and you lose a few games, you really can't explain, and anyone else couldn't imagine what goes through your mind.
Well, we extend our condolences to the family and friends, and you've mentioned it there, mum and dad of Paul still alive, and wife Amanda and the kids. So, John, again, very much appreciate you coming online this morning, paying tribute to Paul and giving us a little insight into the pressures of head coaching.
No, it was a pleasure, mate.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, the back page with David Riccio.
Morning, Dave.
Morning, Brandy. Morning, Vossie.
Yeah, David.
Tough morning for a lot of people with Paul Green's passing yesterday.
Absolutely, Brandy. It was it's still a great shock, I must admit, that when the news filtered through yesterday, just after lunch, I was stunned, absolutely stunned. And you know, like, it's just so difficult to comprehend. I spent yesterday afternoon speaking to a whole heap of Greeny's former teammates down at Cronulla. They had their old boys' day last Saturday night ahead of the Sharks Dragons local derby. And to a man, they were absolutely gobsmacked. Just because they spent 2 days with Greeny last weekend, and he was in great spirits, really upbeat, and you know, spoke about. He was talking to ET Andrew Ettinghausen about, you know, organising a fishing trip together. He was one of the last guys out of the dressing rooms, out of the Cronulla dressing rooms. He was sharing a beer with Craig Fitzgibbon, Adam Dykes, obviously Cade Dykes, made his debut when Greeny was in there. Craig Greenhill, a very, very close mate of Paul's. Well, there's only about five or six left in the Cronulla dressing room, and Greeny was there. And it's just a huge shock, obviously. It's just a real tragedy, and I really, really commend SEN and you guys this morning for promoting what is clearly a massive, massive issue across society, and that is mental health.
Yes, and the lifeline number that we're giving out too, just to press that home, 13 11 14, if, you know, need some help today. You know, we're here, certainly. We can talk sport and we can be a mate, but to have that conversation a little longer, 13 11 14, speak to people who deal with these things every single day. Now, last night's game, what was your takeout, David, and some stories? There's some injuries as well. There's a bit going on there.
Yeah, there is, certainly is. Look, I'd like to get Brandy's perspective, to be honest, in a moment. Clearly, guys, weren't we riding the Melbourne Storm off only a couple of weeks ago? That was an immense performance by that footy team. Once again, they show the spirit of and culture of that club. Cameron Munster moving to fullback has been a revelation. He was just incredible. And that's what Cameron can do. We've been talking about Latrell Mitchell and what he can do for South Sydney, and it's on Latrell's shoulders almost to carry this bunny side all the way to the grand final. And we know he's capable of that. I'd put Cameron Munster absolutely in the exact same category. With so much going on at the Storm as far as injuries are concerned, Munster can do the same thing. He is that type of player. We saw it last night. Defensively, it's one of the best defensive displays I've seen by the Melbourne Storm. But I've got to say, for the Panthers, it really was a struggle. Their attack, I haven't seen anything like that in a long time. Really lost at points through that second half. That's at a stack of ball and enough ball to score points. It was only 16-point margin. We know that's not a big margin in today's game. Obviously, the big concern, guys, is Liam Martin, an ankle problem. It just looked like the old walking down the stairs and roll the ankle job, didn't it? It just buckled underneath him. Fingers crossed, he'll go for scans today, guys. Fingers crossed it's not a significant one and he's at least back before the finals.
Mm. Now, you're on Morning Glory again, aren't you? After 9 a.m.
Oh, yeah, mate.
You enjoyed it that much that you're back for more.
Well, yes. Enjoy is an interesting choice of words, Brandy. Look,
it is fun.
Seriously, good fun, really good fun. Now, this will be my debut with Denon Kemp, working with Denon. Obviously, last week was with Joey. Really looking forward to seeing what Kempy can offer because he's a good laugh as well. And Matty, the old pro. I'm looking forward to another 3 hours with Matty as well.
They used to call Eddie McGuire Eddie everywhere. It's now David does everything, doesn't he? And David does everything Riccio. He's on every channel, TV, radio. Well done, David. Looking forward to the pieces in the Sunday Telegraph, and pretty tough story to cover this one around Paul Green.
Thank you, boys. Go well.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. James Tarmo, now a Tiger, was a part of the Cowboys winning premiership team back in 2015, coached by Paul Green, and he spoke with us today to pay tribute to Paul. James, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, sorry about that with the line. James, we really appreciate your time today. And can I say yesterday, you were one of the voices that we heard, part of the Fox League coverage, how well you spoke yesterday in tribute to Paul Green at a very tough time. We are paying tribute to the life of Paul Green. And obviously the 2015 grand final, we had John Cartwright on earlier. You as player coach, what was Paul Green like as a coach? I said my observation, and Johnny Cartwright's observation was really balanced, handled the pressure of the coaching, could separate the job from the rest of his life. How did you find him as a player?
Yeah, mate, he was, as a coach, I could see as a coach, he was a competitor. And obviously that came out of his playing days. As a coach, he was very honest. He was passionate about the game and he got the best out of everyone. It's a very, obviously, a sad time at the moment, but his coaching ability, you know, he's up there with one of the modern-day greats in regards to coaches. And for him, it's just hard to fathom what's happened. It's just a really sad, sad time.
Well, it is, James. And you know, we spoke about the teams that he played for, the five teams that he played for, and the effect that you know, Paul Green had on those players that he was with right across the competition, then those that he coached. And I guess if we're going to focus on what he did at North Queensland with you, you know, what apart from being a smart coach, you know, the sort of the personality that he had, that, and I've always said, look, all coaches know football. They know rugby league. But it's their personality that I think determines whether they are successful or not. So obviously there was something special in that personality that rubbed off on the players during that period.
Yeah, absolutely. As you alluded to, Brady, he was very smart, mate. He put things into place now that teams are doing now, so he was very much ahead of his time. As far as personality goes, he had a relationship with every single one of those players that was in that 2015 team. You know, I remember talking about it before. You know, there wasn't much in change of the team that was from, in the past, 2012, 2013, 14, then 15. He just sort of come in with a few changes and put his fingerprints all over it. And the history speaks for itself. Mate, his personality, he loved the game of rugby league. He could talk to you about rugby league nonstop. And like I said, very smart about the game. Knew the game, the ins and outs, very logistic, the X and O's, but knew the outside part of the game and the relationships you had to have with your players for them to be successful. So, you know, it's obviously no surprise that it's hit very hard.
James, you're one of the veterans, and I say that with the greatest of respect now in the NRL. You're a family man, you're a father, you're a husband. And we're talking about, you know, today we've opened the lines up for people to have discussion about if they've been in a dark place and pressure and all these sorts of things and how they've sought help for you, James. I mean, trying to unpack what's actually happened as a father, like Paul leaves behind two children as well and his wife. I mean, how you deal with that?
Yeah. That's just obviously what's happened, as I was talking about, with what he was going through, to be able to leave that behind is just sad. He must have been fighting some you know, really tough demons to leave his young family behind. And, you know, to Amanda, Emerson and Jed, you know, his young family, it's just sad. And like I said, for him to... You know, it must have been cutting them deep. You know, like we spoke about, he'll leave a long-lasting legacy on North Queensland. But then you talk about his family, and as a father, as you spoke about, Bossy, that's probably where it hits home a bit. You look at these greats of the game, and you look at them as you know, nearly untouchable. Mm. And for them to you know, it's kind of be struck down like this is like, well, you know, no one's untouchable. This could happen to anyone. And, you know, like I said, that's where it hits home as a father myself. And it's just something I could never understand. And I employ what you guys are doing, you know, to ring up, please seek help if you're going through any situation like this.
Yeah, James, well said. No one is untouchable. I mean, that's proven by yesterday. Mm. James, all the very best, mate. Good luck for the rest of the season. With the Tigers, we're sorry I had to speak in these circumstances today, but your contribution to the program, very much valued by Brandy and I and our listeners.
Appreciate it, Jim.
No worries, mate. All good.
Good man.
Thanks for having me.
James Tarmo, member of the Cowboys Premiership winning side in 2015. If you're struggling yourself, there are people you can turn to for help. Please call Lifeline on 13 11 14. You're listening to the best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. James Tedesco, one of the superstars of the NRL, is set to play his 200th game tomorrow against the Cowboys. And we asked Teddy about the Roosters so far this season in the lead-up to the finals and his favourite moment of his career so far. It's an incredible run from James Tedesco, hero of Camden and the southwest of Sydney, all the way through to rugby league megastar, but game one in the NRL for the Tigers. Did his knee.
I was there. I was calling the game. I was calling the game, and it was, I think it might have been James's first run with the ball.
In open pasture. No one around him. Well, he's certainly kicked on since then. He's dealt with injuries. He's had the mix, but then he's had premiership success, state, country. It is a great pleasure to have this man on the line right now, Mr. James Tedesco, about to play your 200th game. Well done, sir, and welcome again to the program.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
The boys become a man. Can you take us back to junior rugby league days? Camden, really strong rugby league area, good competition there. Did you start right from the get-go, James? Did you know you had something a little bit different to some of the other players you're up against?
I was probably a standout. I was probably just very fast. Speed was probably my main asset when I was a kid. I scored lots of tries just from being fast. And then, I played my age at Camden, and then a lot of my friends were a year older, so I ended up playing a year up as well. And then sort of when I got to St. Greg's, though, a lot of the kids started to shoot up bit taller and bigger than me. That's when I sort of started with a plateau where I was sort of didn't see my growth spurt until I was about 17. So I always had that skill and speed when I was a kid. It just sort of took me a while, I guess, to grow into that and get some size.
Ted, this is your fifth season at the Roosters, and I'll go back to last year and just talking about the evolution of your game. And last year, without Luke Keary, with a young half, Sam Walker, in his rookie season, you changed your game, didn't you? Like, you just feel responsible to try and get your team a win, and that's been evident both at State of Origin club level. But you obviously worked on your game and thought, well, I need to do more than what I'm doing, and you changed your game for the better.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sort of, I guess the first years when I first came to the Roosters, I had Keary and Cooper, and they took control of the team, and I just had to do my thing at fullback. And I think probably in 20 and 21, we sort of lost Rads and Keary in 20, and then young halves last year as well. So I sort of, I just sort of evolved my ball playing skills, I guess, and then my involvements around the middle, and sort of, I guess, yeah, just as a leader of the team, I wanted to try and get my hands on the ball as much as possible, not just wait out the back for something to be created or happen. So, that's probably just how my game evolved. And I've sort of, now this year, it's sort of been a bit of both, trying to find that balance of getting my hands on the ball, but then that natural fullback role as well with my supports and inside play, but then first receiver roles and just sort of, varying up my game as much as possible.
How do you feel about your team this year? You're sitting down the bottom end of the eight, but the last few weeks and there's been signs and you're starting to get some players back. And you mentioned one, Luke Keary. Like, Luke Keary back in a Roosters team makes a huge difference. But the signing of Lodge, Lindsay, Collins, Siwa, coming back over the next few weeks, it's looking pretty strong up front, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of confidence and belief sort of building in the last month. The last month of footy's been really good. We've had some good wins, but yeah, we definitely feel like we haven't still hit our peak yet. We haven't had a proper 80-minute performance that we've been happy with. We've sort of been in and out of periods of 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes that have been outstanding, but then sort of discipline and errors sort of hurting us a bit. So Lodgy's been outstanding for us. I mean, we lost Lindsay and Siwa and having just Lodgy there, he just goes forward for us, and he's been a great addition for us. I'm pretty close to Lodgy. I was with him at the Tigers, and he's just loving footy again. So he's been awesome for us. But yeah, having Keary, and just feel like we didn't, at the start of the year, we were sort of still finding out who we were, and I feel like the last month or so we've really locked into how we're going to play footy, and we're pretty confident we can make a good run to the finals and have some success.
James Tedesco, our special guest ahead of his 200th game in the NRL. All right, James, this is the big one. Through 199 matches, and boy, oh boy, can we put together a hell of a Tedesco highlights reel. There's great origin moments. There's series winning moments. There's premiership success. Isolate one moment, the best moment that you'd like to right now go and relive from your career through the 199 games and all the rep matches.
Tough one, boss.
We asked the tough questions, don't we? Ray Martin stuff here, mate.
I think the probably the Origin 2019 was probably that game winning try in Sydney, like in the last seconds of the game. I don't think I can get a better moment than that. I think I know it's been replayed numerous times already, but yeah, I guess I'll look back. I think that's probably the biggest one I'll probably look back after my career and be pretty proud of that. The two premierships as well. I mean, it's pretty hard to go past that. When you work so hard for it with your club, with your team all year, and then to go and win the grand final 2 years in a row with pretty much the same similar team, it's pretty special.
Yeah, and of course, there's Italy 2013 World Cup, James. I thought that might have got a run there. There's some. Haven't you come a long way? Because it's a World Cup year. Obviously, you'll be there for Australia this time round. But back in 2013, you were starring for Italy.
I was under Mini's wing back then. He was fullback. I was in the centres. So I think I came back and had a lot of confidence after that. After that Italy, I sort of had a few injuries before that. And after the World Cup 2014, I had a pretty good. Came back with a lot of confidence, and that was great times in Italy, playing England, being able to tour over there, and yeah, playing with guys like Mini and both the Minis, Lofranchi, a lot of great legends of the game.
Serraldo was another. Yes.
Yeah, Cameron Serraldo.
Serraldo, yeah.
Ted, any golf? You just heard the golf update. Are you on anyone?
Yeah.
You had a little wager on anyone, and are you playing golf?
No, I was interested in that update. I haven't really been following it too much. I know Finau's won the last couple. He's been, I don't think he had one, Eddie. He won for years, and then he's won two in a row.
Yeah, he's won two in a row.
Again. So, no, I've been following. I've seen, is Cam Smith confirmed to live golf? Is that?
Not confirmed, but it sounds like he'll announce it at the end of the FedEx Cup. He'll try and win the $18 million in FedEx Cup and then say, I'm off, boys, yeah.
Mm. And then take the $100 million. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I'm not on anyone, unfortunately.
Bossy, I've got to say, one of the highlights amongst many through Origin is listening to Ted, Jake Trbojevic, and Gutho talk about golf. And they love playing. We had a couple of rounds, one up at Mooloolambar and one over in Perth. And just listening to the... you'd swear that these blokes were tour professionals. Like, the chat is fantastic. It really is.
We do love it. We've been messaging Gutho and Jakey to try and get a game going after camp. We haven't got one going yet, but right. Yeah, we do love it. It's hard to match up our schedules to get a game in, but that's one of the highlights of camp. Getting out of play Ambrose, it's a good game, good fun.
It is. Good stuff.
Well, you've achieved plenty, James, already in the career. It certainly ain't over. There's more chapters to be written. I think there's a kid's book, James Tedesco, we've spoken about in the past, and you've dealt with injury. You've had the great moments. You're going to be married, James. All these things are happening in your life. Well done, mate. 200 games. It's a terrific milestone. And on behalf of all league fans, we love watching you do what you do.
Thanks, Bossy. Thanks, Brandy. Appreciate it.
Well, just keep the short up, though. Can you just, in your 200th game, can you make sure we don't have to see the bare backside? Just one go, James. Can you tie him up or something?
That could be a good 200th, remembrance. Short stand.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well,
see you, Ted. All the best. All the best tomorrow. Should be a cracking game against the Cowboys.
Cracking game. Yeah, good turn. That's a lovely faux pas there, Brandy. A cracking game. Vossi and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.